This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Deep in the recesses of the Justice Department, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act Court has been working overtime since the events of September 11th. The secret court, known simply as the FISA court, was created by Congress in 1978 after it was revealed that President Nixon had authorized wiretaps in the name of national security that were, in fact, aimed at protecting his own political interests. Presidents have to get authorization from the FISA court in order to wiretap or search secretly for intelligence purposes. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
Although the judges on the FISA court say it has worked well, it's not without its critics. On one side are those who say the court is a rubber stamp. These critics note that the court has never rejected a request for a warrant from any administration in the 23 years of its existence. On the other side are those who say the statutory rules for obtaining warrants are too strict. And in the aftermath of September 11th, the Bush administration has asked Congress to relax some of those requirements. Even without those changes in law, though, the FISA court has been used more and more frequently. Last year, the court granted more than 1,000 wiretaps and search warrants, double the number of a decade ago. That's also almost as many wiretaps as were issued in all federal criminal cases combined. The 7-member FISA court operates in the utmost secrecy, with individual judges hearing applications in a windowless, bug-proof room inside the Justice Department. The judges serve for fixed terms and are appointed by Chief Justice William Rehnquist. The current chief judge of the court, Royce Lamberth, a poker-playing buddy of Rehnquist's, is known as an acute and even ferocious trial judge. As he put it in a speech a few years ago, the Chief Justice did not put me on this court, so I would be a rubber stamp for whatever the executive branch wants to do. I ask questions, I get into the nitty-gritty, I know exactly what's going to be done and why, and my questions are answered in every case before I approve an application. Indeed, sources say Lamberth is so skeptical that earlier this year he suggested an FBI agent who'd appeared before him had played fast and loose with the facts. According to knowledgeable sources, Lamberth sent the warrant application back for further examination with some acid comments. That incident, however, was not listed as a rejection, and according to sources, it is fairly common for judges on the FISA court to send a request back for revision or for more information. If we wanted to play games with the numbers, Lamberth has said, we could call some of those requests for revisions denials. And he also notes some applications have been withdrawn. The implication of Lamberth's remarks is that the government's road to warrant approvals has not been as smooth as the numbers suggest. The gatekeeper for the court is the Department of Justice Office of Intelligence Policy Review. Anytime the FBI or CIA or National Security Agency wants a tap or a search, they have to go to OIPR. And in the intelligence agencies, there are some complaints that OIPR is too cautious. Stuart Baker served as general counsel for the National Security Agency.
Generally, OIPR's view was, we want to see more. They were proud of the fact that the court had not rejected any of their requests, and they wanted to maintain that record.
That's the job of the department.
Ken Bass served as head of OIPR in the Carter administration. He notes that a FISA court proceeding is unlike any other. There's no adversary process. The target has obviously not been informed and has no chance to object. And so when Congress made the Justice Department the gatekeeper, it intended the department to be both skeptical and independent in its evaluations.
Well, your surrogate for the concept of the law, as vague as that might be, but you're also a surrogate for the target of the surveillance to some extent.
Former NSA counsel Baker says that approach has sometimes cost the country dearly.
One of the things that happens, however, is every time a controversy arises about whether a FISA application should have been granted or not, and there's some second guessing about how tough OIPR has been, OIPR does its own soul searching and gets a little bit more open to trying something more aggressive.
Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.